welcome to WNHH-FM's Dateline New Haven. This is Paul Vass inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make our community tick. We got two people in the studio today who are making New Hallville tick like it hasn't ticked for years. Folks, you might think there's no election campaign going on in the Democratic primaries this year in New Haven, even though it's an odd number year. There's no mayoral primary. There's no primary in Fairhaven Heights. There were supposed to be. There's no primary in any neighborhood but New Hallville, which is making up for all that energy. We got a wild three-way primary with three people who are so well-known in the community going out there in a great spirit to each make their case for why they should be the next alder for Ward 21. With Delphine Clyburn is retiring, and we got new people bringing new energy. Two of those candidates are with us today, Devin Avshalom and Adi Kimbrough. Welcome, Devin, to the WNHA studio. Welcome back, Adi, who was here during her work on the census. So great to see both of you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
And I'm going to ask you to get real close to the mic, so you're almost touching it, but not quite. Shirley Lawrence is the endorsed Democratic candidate, but she chose not to come on today, just so you know. You can read more about Shirley on the Independent website. There'll be a story about this next week, this interview. We'll definitely include Shirley's positions. Devin and Adi, I want to start out, maybe start with you, Adi Kimbrough. Why are you running for alder?
Well, Paul, I felt that New Hallville needed to more representation, and there's things that need to be done that were overlooked by our previous alder, such as sidewalks, speed bumps, trees, and the lighting on the streets, because we're not able to see. And,
and as I remember, when the city has a crew of people who go, inspectors into a neighborhood, when they came there with Delphine Clyburn, she was telling them, we got all these trees overgrowing the lights, right. So it's dangerous. People could shoot, they can't see. All these broken sidewalks, old folks trying to get around. So it's kind of, you're running on sort of those sidewalk issues, we call them.
Right, but about the trees, Shirley, myself, and Daphne walked with
the LCI crew.
With Parks and Recs.
Okay.
2 years, I say almost 3 years ago. And Daphne had already picked out trees that she wanted cut. Mm-hmm. And that was over near Star Street, Hazel Street. And we walked all of New Hallville. And none of the trees were cut. Shelton Avenue, Shepherd Street, Reed Street. Only reason that Reed Street did get some of their trees cut, because the police could not see the drug activity.
R2 and its
right.
descendants.
Okay.
Right. So trees. So you're gonna, if you get elected older, Adi Kimbrough, you're gonna be on the trees.
I'm gonna be on everything, because 85% of the people that live in New Hallville now are renters. Mm-hmm. And their landlords do not live in New Hallville.
Is that really true, 85%? Where's the number 85, come from?
I looked it up on the internet through the city of New Haven.
You know what's amazing about that number, obviously, Devin, because you grew up there too, right?
Yes.
I mean, what we always knew about New Hallville, because I'm an old guy, right? New Hallville was known as the black home ownership neighborhood.
Right.
Black people rented in Dixwell and owned homes in New Hallville.
Right.
What happened?
Gentrification. Mm-hmm. 2012.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. As I was saying, gentrification happened, and our alders and mayors just started letting different people.
Well, gentrification means that people come new to the neighborhood,
right?
Fix it up and raise the values, but also price people out.
But that's not happening.
So that's
anymore.
Not really gentrification. When I go by New Hallville, I don't know, Devin, do you see gentrification with Mandy and the other ocean management people buying up these properties? Or is it more that generational wealth slipped by and that people came in and bought properties cheap and milked them with Section 8 rents?
Right. And,
right.
You know, yeah. Thank you for having me, Paul.
You're welcome,
Dave. And I think that hits the nail on the head. It's not gentrification.
And by the way, just so people know, a minute ago we had a little technical gap. Henry Harry Joseph, stage manager, was in while Adi was talking. Sorry about that. And we got our ears blown out. Okay. So it's not gentrification.
It's not gentrification per se. I am actually a product of, you know, this that strong New Hallville black home ownership, and I understand.
I'm going to ask you to get real close to the mic.
Sure. Second, yeah. I understand exactly what you were saying about generational wealth kind of slipping away. What happened often is folks came up, migrated during the Great Migration from the South, purchased these homes, worked in places like Winchester Factory, and then as they got older, passed on. Sometimes their children decided to keep the home, and what we're finding more often than not sometimes is that folks will sell, or due to the rise and the increase in violence, a lot of people are also leaving the neighborhood. But
now, you mentioned one thing there, and again, I'm sorry, I need to keep repeating this. Adi, you're coming projecting great on the mic, even when you're not as close, but Devin, you need to get real close. You got this kind of calmer way of talking than I do. You mentioned jobs. So there used to be as many as 17 to 18,000 people working at Winchester in its heyday. One of the many theories about New Haven's economic changes is that the exact moment when we had this historic migration of African Americans from the South in the middle of the 20th century to work at places like Winchester was right before the jobs all moved away.
Yeah.
So all of those Winchester jobs left, and all those people who bought houses, some of them held on, but you said then you pass it on to your kids. All of a sudden, there were no jobs to pay for those houses. But I agree, you both brought up a lot of other factors. There was crime, which is related to that, right? Drug abuse, which is related to that. So when I look at the landlords who have come in and not really invested in those properties but are making a lot of Section 8 money, and how we've gone from a homeowner to a renter neighbor for the most part, but not completely.
Right.
We got great pockets of homeownership, right? We got like the NHS houses, no even housing because the people bought right around Winchester and Ivy Street. And what you say you were a product of that, Devin. What happened? Did your parents own a home? Did they work at Winchester? What's the deal?
Yes. So my grandparents, Roy and Doris Smith, they own a home that I live in.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Where is that?
On Star Street.
And what are their names?
Roy and Dora Smith.
D-O-R-A?
Yes.
So where did they work?
My grandfather worked at Winchester for a while. My grandmother worked at various healthcare facilities in the city.
And there are still healthcare jobs. That's what I'm just saying. It's not so simple to say it's all one reason. Right,
right. Right. And a lot of most of that generation came up to work in the factory.
Where did they come up from?
North Carolina.
Where? That's where it seems like so many people came from. Where did they come
Absolutely. From? Absolutely. My folks are from Winterville, Greenville, and Aiden. And
wow.
I mean.
So your parents came. They bought a house on Star Street. How about your parents?
Yes. So my mom, that's where she grew up. And essentially, it's where I grew up as well. My dad is from the Hartford area, but all of my mother's side, we're all located.
And right where did your mom work?
She works at a hospital.
Okay, so that's where the new factory is,
yes,
right? The hospitals grew, Eds and Meds. Mm-hmm. And then who owns the house?
Right now, it's been passed on to my mom and my aunt and my uncle.
And you live, what a wonderful thing, intergenerational, living together. So you're all living there?
Yes. Right now, I'm the primary caretaker of the home.
Okay. Is there a line for the bathroom or no?
Pardon?
I mean, is there a line for the bathroom? It sounds like.
Oh no! Right now, I'm the person really there taking care of everything.
And where do you work, Devin?
I work for the Connecticut General Assembly in Hartford at the state capitol. I'm the Labor and Public Employees Committee clerk and legislative aide to State Representative Robin Porter.
Okay. And then Adi, you're retired.
I am.
You had a career in retail, correct?
Retail, insurance. The last place, Century Insurance. I retired from there. I live on Shepherd Street.
And do you own your house?
No, I don't.
So you rent. And who's your landlord?
It's a family house.
Okay.
As well.
That's good.
Okay.
I think.
And I'm the only one that lives there now. Right, the grandparents, my son's grandparents, Beatrice and David Spann, owned this house.
Are they related to Warren Spann?
Yes, they are.
Okay, small world, huh?
And my son's
I love the Warren.
My
Warren's
son's father's name is Warren Spann.
Same yeah. Warren we're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. Okay.
Oh my goodness, Adi. Okay, this is getting deep. Okay. All right.
Paul, I wanted to double back to the question you asked Addie about why we're running, why she's running, why, and talk about why I'm running. So for me, when I heard the voice of community members, community leaders, looking to really capitalize on this specific moment in time in Newhallville, with having, you know, God bless her, having had one alder for an extended period of time, coming off
since 2011, we're talking about a decade
coming off of this pandemic, which we're still in, but all of the devastation that essentially has been wrought in Newhallville, and then it positions us to really boost, to take things to the next level in Newhallville, addressing concerns such as violence, such as traffic calming measures, such as providing more youth opportunities for engagement and recreation. Also really delving into what it can looks like to bring jobs, get more skilled trades, people trained for skilled trades in our neighborhood, etc. And I think that folks are ready to bring Newhallville politics into 2021, and that's what I offer.
Well, what does that mean? I'm going to ask you though. What does it mean to bring Newhallville politics into 2021?
That really means the voice of all people, not just some, all of the residents of Newhallville being heard. And in order to do that, one has to take a very systematic approach and an intentional approach of making sure that the dissemination of information is going out on multiple platforms, be it in person, even electronically, so that one thing that within my campaign I'm making sure to do with my community first agenda is maintaining complete contact, constant contact with my neighbors, so that I know exactly what it is that's on their mind, and that
they do that through an email listserv, through a website.
We do it through face-to-face, through email, through Facebook, phone number, text, calling.
And I know you were bringing some text chops to the management team.
Absolutely.
And you have your communications, which is not kept up to date, to inform the residents in Newhallville. This is what was brought to the management team. And I went on there the other day, and there's no information. Only vote for Devin. So your communication, which you brought to the community, should be utilized more than what it is and kept up to date.
Oh, I think that what we can say honestly about that is we have been keeping our communications up to date. And what we do is we reach out to people, we post things that other folks are doing in the neighborhood on Facebook. And we have, like I said, we have multiple modes of communication. So sometimes we're working with people through text, sometimes we're working on the phone. I don't want to digress too much from the point of our conversation, but I was in a pretty bad car accident not too long.
Sorry to hear that.
What happened? Thank you. So that did disable me a little bit.
You okay now?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely fine now.
Hey, can I step back one thing you're saying? You're talking about bringing Newhallville. This is a historic moment with the change in who's going to run the neighborhood to tackle the challenge you have in Newhallville. Newhallville, like all urban neighborhoods, right, has serious specific challenges. But I got to tell you something. When I look at the two of you, and I don't live in Newhallville, right? So I'm talking as an outsider to the neighborhood. I think in New Haven, Newhallville is this amazing place in recent years. And I think of the two of you, a part of the reason that is. There is no more engaged management team. I know you've had issues with it, Addie, but there's no more active management team than Newhallville's in the city in terms of just individuals, citizens who don't get paid, who create so many activities and bring so many people in the neighborhood to ask them about their big plans. When I look at the learning corridor, like Addie has done a community garden, there is no greener neighborhood than Newhallville. People like Addie who have formed community gardens and people growing their food, and that's been happening over taking the problem of abandoned property and making it to an opportunity. Or Devin has done like computerizing the management team and all that. I mean, that's a real thing happening. And I just think Newhallville's a great neighbor, and I agree, you have all those challenges. So I feel like I'm hearing from you folks is that Newhallville has the grassroots potential.
It has the potential to tackle,
whether it's the trees that are blocking the lights,
right,
or whether the housing that's in the wrong hands, right? Because for every 10 houses bought by the landlords, the city builds one that a homeowner can get. We like that, right?
Yeah. And both of us, well, all three of us, I'm not going to leave Shirley out.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get the communication out, but a lot of the community does not know about the management team, does not know about what they're capable of. So it's not getting out to everyone in the community.
Okay, so I'm hearing you guys that communication is a big goal.
Right.
Yeah, we started talking about the housing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this place that used to be Homeowner Central for the black community is now owned by largely out-of-town people who have too much property in their hands, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to cast aspersions on them. They just got way too much stuff than they can handle, and they're getting Section 8 rents, so the money's coming in.
Right.
What do you guys propose? Let's go first to Devin and then Adi. To deal with the issue of this 85% rentership that Adi brought up and whose hands it's in the condition of housing in New Harlem.
Right. Well, I think that there's huge potential to do two things. One, to increase the amount of home ownership even amongst renters. And there's various programs within the city to encourage and support people who want to be first-time homeowners. So definitely plugging people in with programs, and even we have
The former Aldi used to fight neighborhood housing services, and neighborhood housing services used to get tax credits for people who like have blue collar jobs to buy older houses and then get extra money so they could afford to have new boiler systems and structural improvements to houses without the cost of what normally cost under gentrification, because there are all these as a nonprofit they could tap into it. Is there a way to expand that on a scale? Or I guess I interrupted you.
There's neighborhood housing services. We also have our good friend of New Hallville, Eric Clemens.
Concat,
who he's working on something very similar. You know, I don't want to speak
so programs that leverage philanthropic and government money
exactly
to help working people who have a paycheck but aren't rich to buy these beautiful houses and get them sucked in good shape so they can be handed down. The way yours is handed down and out of yours is in a family. I mean, you guys have these exceptions.
Exactly. And then there is also the second point, which should come from, I believe, City Hall, from the Alder, especially is working with these large management companies and finding a level of acceptable accountability, which doesn't discourage further development, but really holds them to the standards that need to be kept.
And how do we do that?
Well, I think a number of things could be done. And I think it fluctuates from possible fines all the way to just helping and encouraging their tenants, like neighbor to neighbor, on how to keep up the property and incentivizing them to do that through like community-based interventions.
So working not just with the landlords, but with the tenants.
Absolutely. Now, it takes a like an all-encompassing approach.
And how about you, Adi? What are your thoughts about how to deal with the current housing situation in New Harlem?
People keep saying low income, affordable housing. A lot of, in our neighborhood, you can put affordable housing, but then you run the risk of it not being kept up, being like the projects.
But are you talking about homeowner affordable housing or just rental affordable housing?
Rental affordable housing. Reverend Kimber asked about that a lot. And I think that it would bring the property value down.
So what would we like instead? So instead of affordable housing projects, you'd like to see what?
You can do like duplexes, you know, two people on the side like Brookside has, or, you know, how they did that over. And
so you're saying smaller level houses.
Smaller level houses. Then also out there, they have rental property. I'm not rental properties.
Homeowner.
A homeowner. So they're mixed together. And I go out there and it's kept up, you know, and if you put 12 buildings.
But that's homeowner owned. So you just want to make sure
that
you're
No, but there are renters too.
But I mean, it's Housing Authority owned.
Okay.
We're not talking here mostly about Housing Authority, are we, outside of Daisy Street in the ward?
Well, you can bring, we have a lot of vacant properties that housing authority can build.
And you'd like to see the housing authority build a Brook style.
Instead of just Daisy Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's for seniors.
And Sherman Parkway, yeah.
Right, in Sherman Parkway, you really don't have any renter housing authority buildings in our neighborhood, even though it is residential. But it'll still be residential, but you could do duplex, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, just two people on each side. And even put homes there to own. Mm-hmm. There's enough property, in New Hallville and vacant lots.
Okay, and we're talking to Devin Avshalom and Adi Kimbrough, two of the three candidates in a September 14th Democratic primary in New Hallville's Ward 21 for who's going to be the next alder. It's the race to watch this September 14th. I'm Paul Bash, your host, WNHH. So there was a big disappointment. There was a big plan for New Hallville to bring a co-op laundry in the vacant welfare building, state welfare building on Bassett Street. For mm-hmm. generations, that's where people lined up to get welfare and other state assistance. It's right there on the canal trail. I know that some developer would love to snap that up, you know, because you're right on the canal trail. The city wanted to put a co-op laundry. You got all this money to plan it out. They had it lined up that Yale and others would be customers, Yale New Haven, so that it could financially work, get local people hired. It's gone. It said it would cost too much to fix that building. So where do we go next on that building?
Well, Paul, Mayor Ellinger wants to put the Board of Education in that spot. All right.
That actually was that plan was abandoned.
About the Board of Education.
It's kind of like not central enough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not central enough.
I was here in the Armory.
I think there is a lot of potential for that building. And the biggest question that I've been hearing, at least coming from the city side, is how do we fund it? And this is another reason why I'm asking people and let them know this race is urgent, asking them to vote for me. Because one of my strong suits is creating partnerships with nonprofit and for-profit businesses in order to get that building so that the community is basically saying they'd like to see it have community-based resources. And in order to do that, we'd have to be able to fund the operational aspect of the building, which would require outside partnerships. So it's not an impossibility. It does take a level of planning that would require the alder to be involved as well.
What would you like to see in it? What would you like to see the building be?
Yeah, what I'd like to see is what residents have told me, whereas they'd like to see some youth recreation opportunities, mentorship programs. I'd like to see programming focused on STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts and math. Some other folks said that they would like to see like a job hub, even if it's just somewhere where people can go to sit down on a computer and apply for jobs or have resume building skills. I think that.
So you want a social service and youth rec place.
Right.
I think
you
we
both
can,
do.
We can say that broadly, but what I would like to see, and the only thing that I could really commit to, is taking the ideas of the people, the voice of the people, and making it into a manageable and operational plan.
So where's the money, basically?
How right,
you
exactly.
Find the money?
Exactly. And I do believe that as far as this race goes, I'm the most capable candidate to do that due to my experience.
So what would be the example of your experience where you've worked with nonprofits or for-profits?
Sure. Well, for one example, I'm on a part of the NHE3, which is the New Haven Equitable Entrepreneurship Ecosystem. And so this is through the Community Foundation. And the purpose of the NHE3 is to convene leaders, community members, and entrepreneurs in implementing short-term infrastructure projects and devising a long-term strategic plan. So we're looking to actually build infrastructure when it comes to folks who either have businesses or are looking to start businesses. And then if we're looking at my current work and some of my past work in the neighborhood, I've partnered with some private companies in order to just bring needed resources in, get items donated, such as, I'll use an example, a community garden nearby, getting them a new tiller and other tools they might need, getting bicycles donated to Music Note Kids Club. I mean, those things are really community centered and community based. And, but I really also want to make people aware of my professional experience, which also has required me to work with various different businesses. And I can speak to that somewhat with working in the Connecticut General Assembly. But I've also worked in an accounting office, so I've had to work through budgets. And then I've also worked in a program where I was what was called a wellness ambassador, in which I went to various different senior centers, businesses, the local police department, and had to find ways to raise money. Also put on programming, health-related programming for seniors.
Okay, now I want to let Audie
talk
about
it. Can I toot my horn a little bit?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah, I love you the know? Tone. We're tooting horns okay. here on Dateline New Haven. I think you both agreed you want to see social services, youth programming, jobs.
Right.
Devin just laid out reason he felt he had experience to bring resources and partnerships to the table.
Right.
Audie.
Okay. The reason why I think you should vote for me is because I'm on the board of directors of OIC that
Opportunities Industrialization Center.
Right. That helps find jobs. You do not pay for this program, these programs. OIC has been around over 50 years. They're located at 333 Valley Street. I'm on the board of reviews for Community Action. I'm on the Food Policy Council, and that helps to bring food into New Haven. And we haven't had a meeting in a while. There's a little structure different there now. And I've owned my own business.
What business you own?
It was healthcare, working with senior citizens. I volunteered for the census 2 years ago when we started. Newhartville was 1%. That means that people were not filling out their applications and sending them back. When we finished the census, they were up 10%.
You were on this radio station when you were working on the census.
Right.
You were putting a lot of hours in on how people get signed up.
And I had tables out in front of Faisal's. Mm-hmm. I walked door to door for this. So I am able to work with nonprofits, bring money into Newhartville if you vote for me. Okay. Last time I went to school, Gateway, and it was 10 years ago, and I had to stop because I have chronic pain on my right side. I had to learn how to walk again. The last time I came here, I had a walker. I walk around Newhartville. Yes, I drive my car. I park it at a certain place. But I walk door to door. And I'm very excited about helping Newhartville come up. And I can do spreadsheets. I don't have to go to someone else to show me how to do a spreadsheet. I know how to do financing. Because I went to school for business administration, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to move on to the next. I'm tooting my horn now.
And that's good. That's you running for alder. We want you to toot your horn. Devin Obstlom, Audie Kimbrough tooting their horns because they're running for Democratic alder in Newhartville. The kind of people we want to have, Sherry Lawrence running to make us a better city. Devin, before we move on, did you want to add something?
Well, absolutely. What I'm hearing from residents is that they're ready for change. They're ready to move forward and bring things to the next level. Some of the responsibilities of an alder person is to remedy concerns of constituents, create laws in the city of New Haven, and work on the budget. I think that we deserve someone in the seat who's deeply rooted, myself in particular, deeply rooted in the community, but also understands policy and understands that
language. And we are going to transition that. Adi, how many years you lived in New Harville?
I've only lived in New Harville 7 years, but I have lived on other, well, on Shepherd Street 7 years. I've lived on Hazel Street and West Ivory Street.
So that was all in those 7 years or beyond the 7 years?
No.
So you've lived a lot longer than 7 years in New Harville?
Yes.
Because those are both in New Harville.
All right. Yeah, but where I am now on Shepherd Street, I've lived here 7 years.
No, I said, how long you lived in New Harville?
New Harville, maybe 12 years.
And where'd you live before that?
In the Hill. I grew up in the Hill.
Okay, so you're a New Haven person.
I've been here since I was 3 years old.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't...
I think they count you as a New Havener if you're since 3 years old.
Yeah.
I'm still working.
I
was
18. I'm a Yankee, so...
And Devin, you've been your whole life in New Haven.
My life, yes.
All right. Yeah. So, Devin, talk about citywide issues that you're on to get to some of those here on Dateline New Haven. WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio at 103.5 FM. Live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. We're getting $100 million, not even counting education money, from Federal American Rescue Plan. Right. We're saying, how are we going to spend money so it's not just a one-time thing? While it's important to give something to somebody, something to do for a day or fix a problem for a day, how do we get longer-term fixes? I have a bias that I'm going to bring up and ask you about, but you're the candidate, so I want to hear you first. Quickly, each of you, how would you like to see that $100 million spent? Audit?
So we were just talking about it. The building on Bassett Street. Mm. We can use some of this money for the recreation. Instead of our children having to leave and go to Dixwell Avenue to the Q House.
You said Q House, you feel, is too far for the neighborhood?
It's too far. This building is sitting right there. We could use some of that money to fix that building up, so that we can have recreation.
What about ongoing paying for it? Because Devin was talking about you were paying, how you're going to pay for it once it's built.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how...
Oh, you said you go out and find people to partner.
Find people to
anything
partner
anything else
with
on American
and
Rescue.
And leave Yale out of that that equation.
And then anything else American Rescue Plan money? For long-term change.
Long-term change?
Okay, let Devin talk a little. We'll come back to you. Devin, any thoughts?
Yes, indeed. Well, first, I want to speak to the facts on that. About 45% of households earn less than $25,000 due to it, according to a Data Haven study done in 2019. So,
45% of households in New Harville?
In New Harville earn less than $25,000, and then 79% earn less than $50,000.
79%?
79%.
Wow, that's a big number.
It's a big number. And so I think when we're talking about these federal dollars, we're really needing to look at this all-encompassing view of job creation, housing, health care. I think those are some of the highest ranked items. For me.
And how would you spend that money on those items?
Absolutely. So I think the state building is one option, but it is just one. I think that we'd also need to create somewhat of a pipeline, bringing in opportunities for people to engage in training for skilled trades.
Mm-hmm.
And then also using money as well to help folks get into career paths that involve post-secondary education at our gateways, our Southerns, our Yales, essentially.
Okay, what I'm wondering about is fiber optic internet. So there have been poor communities that used to have factories, like New Harville, places like Wilson, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Where they get a public authority to put on this ultra-fast internet that's cheaper. And what happens is that low-income people spend half the money to get much faster internet and can actually create jobs or get those kind of opportunities for job training, education, or just develop tech stuff if they learn it in their house. But more importantly, companies want to locate where the internet is very fast, especially the companies, whether they're medical research, or any kind of startup, where the internet is fast and cheap. I'm wondering why we're not having an American Rescue Plan that's right in New Harville, whether that's partnering with Housing Authority property on Sherman Parkway or Daisy Street, or whether it's, I don't know. That's my two cents. I'm not running for the office.
That's a good idea.
Some of that is actually in the works with the idea around, although I don't know if it's connected to the federal dollars yet, but about equipping our community with internet. We saw some of that during the pandemic when various schools and churches allowed themselves.
Comcast, which fights to keep fiber optic providers out because they want to be able to still charge us twice as much for half a slow internet. I was not impressed when they gave a few freebies out. I think they used their political muscle to profit. But anyway, sorry, we're getting way off the track in New Hoville. War 21, we're Adi Kimbrough and Devon Avshalom. War 20, we're Devon Avshalom and Adi Kimbrough are also running with Shirley Lawrence. What about crime? Now, New Hoville is not the only place there's crime in New Haven. Crime
it's
is up.
Over.
A lot of young people living in crime. Why is crime up and what would you do about it? Who wants this one first?
I keep trying to figure out why. It's not even, they keep saying young people, but some of these people are 40 years old and they're getting killed or they're shooting.
Including a couple of two recent shooting victims, their 30s and 40s. The one is 59.
Yeah.
There was a woman outside her house in the hill, just got shot.
Okay. And on Crescent Street, 2 weeks ago,
right,
person got shot at the same time. In New Harville, there was five shots going off on Shepherd and Butler, okay? The shot catcher, or whatever.
Spotter
did not catch this.
Really?
Okay? And the police said to me, maybe because at the same time, the shooting was happening on Crescent Street. So that needs to be addressed.
So you think ShotSpotter needs to be improved?
Right.
And there is talk about more video, more ShotSpotter expansion, right. Although Reed and Butler is, I mean, Butler Street's sort of ShotSpotter Central right now.
Okay, yes.
I don't know if they could fit more cameras in ShotSpotter there.
Right. But my thing is the ShotSpotter didn't catch the same time.
So we need to get simultaneous shooting.
Right. And the police stay on Reed and Huntington Street, okay? There was just a shooting last Monday just passed, all right? And the car just came down, speeding, shooting, and another person standing near shooting at. This has to stop because children live all over in our community, Ward 20. They are afraid to come outside. I talk to children at King Robinson through LEAP, and they were from 5th to 8th grade. The 8th grader said whenever they graduate from high school and decide to go to college, they do not want to come back here. They don't want to come back to their own community to help out.
So, Adi, what would you do about it? I know you can't solve one person, but what an older do?
We have to have more conversations with our community. Not just come out when someone gets shot or on the news or, you know, standing in front of a press conference. You have to keep talking all the time. Just like Black Lives Matter came out. Where were they this year? You know, I know they're still around, and I was happy to see that young people had a voice, okay, and that they marched. But don't stop marching. Stand on the corners. Talk to your peers. Continue to talk. See what's wrong. See what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's what the alders have. If I become alder, that's what I plan on doing. I walk by myself in my community. I'm not afraid. All right, I'll stand learning quarter on the corner. Please tell me what is wrong.
And then Jay Wan,
how can we fix it?
Okay, you know? Jay Wan Carter says, "Hey Devin, hey Adi, Jay Wan." She speaks the truth about the ShotSpotters not picking up gunfire. This is a big issue. All right, Devin, what would you do if elected alder about crime and why is crime up?
Absolutely. So, one, I want to start with. Conversations with the community are important. That should be ongoing, but we definitely need more. And we need more in the way of reentry supports for our brothers and sisters coming back home from being incarcerated. And there are a number of organizations within the city, within the state, that offer various supports to our brothers and sisters. And a lot of times folks don't know about it and don't know how to get linked in.
So is this an info thing already? Because we got Project More when you come out, like get them right. The Project More and that kind of stuff.
Like that. And but there are, you know, there's like Urban, I think it's Resources Initiative.
Mm-hmm. Emerge, all that.
Emerge, yes, exactly. But coming from, I think, the neighborhood and just as Alder, there has to be the concerted effort to put this information in one place, connect with constituents, and get them to these services. Not just saying, oh, it's out there, you should access it. Also, we need more community policing. I've learned from my grandparents and my mother that there was a time when officers would walk down the street and they knew your name, they knew your family's name.
Do we have that now?
No, we don't.
To a certain extent. And I also understand that the police have a terribly difficult job, so there has to be an exchange both ways of us working with one another. I mean, and then the violence, the increase in violence, they go back to systemic issues, which is why, you know, in my community first agenda, I am very focused on economic development, very focused on, like I said, bringing skilled trades, bringing partnerships with for-profit, non-profit businesses in so that we can build from the ground up. I think the residents of Ward 20 are ready for an Alder like myself who will do more than just come out on the street corner and talk to them, but will meet with experts, meet with them. Honestly, the community members are my experts, but also meet with scholars and experts in the field, look at proven models from around the country.
You have to stand on the corner and talk to the constituents.
Absolutely.
To get what they want done.
Right.
And if you don't want to stand out and talk to them, or you want to stand and go to meetings and stuff like that, that's not helping our community.
So let me be clear,
have to stand on the corner. And right. That's what, if you elect me, I will be there, not in a boardroom.
My favorite comment is here from J1. With the rise of violent crime, we'll be approved for another burn grant, 3 exclamation points. So he's obviously has a glint in his eye when he says that.
Right.
The burn grant sent us millions of dollars to get rid of crime structurally in New Hallville. Okay. Did it do that?
I don't believe that it did.
I didn't. And I think
that was a rhetorical question.
No.
Yeah, I got J1's exclamation points totally right.
Thank you, J1. And I think it does take an Alder and who has an eye towards implementation, you know, making sure that from the top down that we're looking at the areas in which we can improve and being honest with folks when things are possible and when they're not possible. And just to go back briefly, to the comments prior, I started with saying the community, there are expert advisors. And then as Alder, I add an additional layer of the ability to plan, partner, and implement so that we're no longer just talking, that we're actually going ahead and accomplishing our goal.
All right, well, I have to tell you, I wish we had 4 hours because I love talking to you guys. I love talking to Shirley Lawrence.
Right.
I think we have a great neighborhood in New Hallville in terms of citizen engagement. Just wonderful people doing great stuff. The greenest neighborhood in New Haven. Ready for a new chapter. Political leadership is changing Ward 21, not Ward 20, where there's a primary on September 14th, the Democratic nomination. I guess nobody's on the ballot as an independent in November, right? So this is it, December 14th. Adi Kimbrough, Devin Absalom, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Paul.
I will be on the ballot.
Are you on the ballot?
I already petitioned.
Are you qualified?
I'm on the ballot.
How about you, Devin?
For November.
No.
Okay. Well, yeah. Why was that? Why did you and why didn't you? Real quickly.
Because I really want to be Alder, and I see change in New Hallville, and economically, financially.
I didn't consistent in what I say and what I do. I'm not going to change party and jump to another party or change party lines in order to have a shot after the primary. I respect the people and their voice, and I know that they know they can count on me to be consistent.
So, now, what about you, Adi? He's not consistent.
I'm not changing party. I'm just going to be a write-in
It's not write-in if you petitioned. You're on the ballot in November.
But I'm not Democrat or Republican, so I'm going as, all right? I'm not changing.
All right. Yeah, my 30 seconds each, because we're going out here. It's great to talk to you today. Any final thoughts from Devin Avshalom, Adi Kimbrough? Wonderful conversation. Thank you for giving us the time. Adi, 30 seconds. What? Tell me about why you're running again one last time. Any points we didn't hit?
I'm running so that New Hallville can be economically and safe, and so our children can feel better about our neighborhood.
All right. That's a good summary. Why don't you keep it as tight as that, Devin?
Vote Devin Avshalom Smith for Ward 20, Alder September 14th.
I can't believe you got Smith. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. Vote Devin Avshalom Smith, Ward 20, Alder September 14th. If you are looking for the change we need, the urgent change, someone who will actually show up for you and is capable of implementing the things that they talk about, and I'm asking you to hold me accountable to that, then please come out and support.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. I'm going to have you back, because it sounds like there might be a rerun, and we'll see. Thank you, Harry Droz, our station manager, for getting us on so many platforms. And we're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. This is Paul Bass inviting you to fly free with us all day and all night on WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.